Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The show is over at 10, but we never stop talking. Tweet us anytime. Howard and Jeremy, WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, welcome back here. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson here with you today, filling in for the Instigators one more time this week. We're off tomorrow to observe the 4th of July holiday. Thanks again to everybody tuning in and interacting with us all throughout the week. Both the Instigators and One Bills Live will be back next week for the regular scheduled programming. And a reminder that coming up at noon today, filling in for One Bills Live, it'll be the DiBiase brothers, Joe and Louie, coming in, filling in from 12 to 3, talking plenty of football with you. And you can interact with them at 716-803-0550. 550 or our toll-free number 1-888-552-550. All right, let's head out to the Western Hotline because I'm interested to get some thoughts on the Sabres and also what's going on around the NHL with the labor talks going on with David Pagnotta, who's very connected with everything from the4thperiod.com. He joins us right now on the Western Hotline. David, thanks again for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So obviously with the way that everything's kind of going, there's some speculation that maybe that an official agreement could come at any point this weekend. Are we expecting something maybe as early as today in terms of an announcement on everything that's kind of going on?
Yeah, we could certainly hear something later this afternoon. There's still some fine-tuning that needs to be completed for some of the points that they've been negotiating back and forth on the CBA between the NHL and the NHLPA. But by all accounts, the goal is to get something wrapped up today, maybe tomorrow morning at the latest, and then allow for a vote over the course of the weekend, spanning the weekend, that'll consist of not only the CBA terms, but also the return to play plan and everything that encompasses it, the testing protocols, the travel, the hub cities officially getting a vote on, in addition to all the CBA discussions. So they're hoping by Monday we have everything locked in, voted on by the NHLPA membership, and we can start moving towards returning to play.
Have talks between the NHLPA and the NHL been generally peaceful? Because we've heard about everything that's been talked about all throughout this time and finalizing hub cities and also possible extensions with the CBA. But how have the talks been generally between both sides? And how important was it to get this CBA extension done now compared to maybe next season or a couple years from now or when, you know, before avoiding a lockout possibly? But how important was it to get it done now?
Yeah, but because of the times that we're all in, because of the economic ramifications of the COVID pandemic and everything, the fact that we've had to push the season, effectively just cancel out the rest of the regular season, the financial ramifications involved relate to about a $1.1 and change billion-dollar loss for the National Hockey League, and that would take years to recover over that span. So you're almost taking advantage of the opportunity to force yourself to have CBA negotiations, to work on a four-year extension, basically so that you're taking into account all the losses that are being attributed now. So for the financial hardships that everyone's dealing with, they're trying to create the easiest way to come back to get over and through the dollars that are being lost across the board. So with 2 years left on the current CBA, an additional 4 years that are going to be tagged on top of it, they've strategically created a way so that they can minimize the losses moving forward and then return to normalcy, probably, quite frankly, in about 3-4 years to keep track of how finances have been going. Remember, in a couple of years, there's going to be the U.S. television rights that are going to be coming in, the new deals that the NHL is going to finalize. The digital broadcast rights as well are going to play a big factor into that. Seattle entering the league two seasons from now, and their dollars that are factoring in from ticket sales and merch and all of that will start to go towards hockey-related revenue. So at that point, we're going to start to see an influx of dollars, which is a great sign, and it'll bring us back to normal. But now, these next two, three seasons were imperative for the league and the players to figure out so that they can minimize losses across the board.
David Pagnotta from thefourthperiod.com joining us here on the WestHer Hotline with the latest updates from what's going on with the CBA negotiations between the NHL and the NHLPA going on right now around the NHL. So what protocols are of the most interest and most discussed throughout this entire negotiating period with the Phase 3 and Phase 4 protocols? Because obviously with getting back with these players to training camps and with COVID-19 testing being very, very imperative with trying to move forward and get play back on the ice, and with the spike in COVID-19 cases in the United States especially, what's been the biggest talking points with these protocols in these negotiations?
Well, first of all, it was basically solidifying the hub cities that made the most sense, that were the safest involved. Now, you know, this time last week, it was Vancouver and Vegas that the two sides actually agreed upon, and they were ready to move forward. But Vancouver local health officials started to raise some questions as to what would happen if there were positive cases that were to occur going into the bubble or in, you know, the middle of Phase 4. And that would have resulted, from their perspective, in shutting things down until everybody was negative again, which was not something the league is prepared to do. So they had to make that modification. The rising cases in Nevada, in Las Vegas, played a huge factor earlier this week. Concerns raised from the NHLPA over that. So we go to Edmonton, we go to Toronto. That'll be made official once everything is voted on. But that was the biggest thing, to kind of minimize the risk in returning to play and going to what would appear to be some of the safest markets in the National Hockey League. Now, on top of that, it's the testing protocols. It's maintaining everybody's health. Remember that we're not going to get into the bubble. The players aren't moving into the bubble until the middle of Phase 3. So they're going to start their training camps in their respective cities, and then about 10 days, give or take, after they begin, they're going to go to those hub cities, their respective hub cities, and start to enter that bubble. Now, there is a chance that we're going to hear more over the next couple of weeks of players testing positive for this. But even if it were to happen going into the bubble, they're creating basically a quarantine zone in each of these hub cities to kind of allow everybody to remedy, get through it, go back to testing negative, and get it out of their system. And then we're going to be, you know, fully underway for Phase 4 to get games going, which is probably going to be around the start of August.
How do you think the return to play format is going to look in Toronto and in Edmonton and the plan overall? And are you confident that this season's able to get in and be finished and that the Stanley Cup's going to be awarded at the end?
It sounds like it. It sounds like everybody is really confident that they're able to do that by entering these hub markets. Remember that basically for Edmonton and Toronto, they're going to basically seclude an entire area that is going to be cut off from the general population as best they can. So it's effectively done to minimize the possibility of outside, you know, people who are testing positive for this to enter that bubble. So for the league, to make sure that they can secure and safely have everything in place, not just in the beginning of Phases 3 and 4, but moving forward, in order for there to not be any complications going through this, so that we can award a Stanley Cup at the beginning of October. That's kind of how things seem to be lined up. Probably going to, like I said, the beginning of August is probably when we're going to get games going. I know July 10th was the target date to start training camps. I believe that's being pushed a few days to the 13th or 14th. And then about 3 weeks after that is when we're going to start the games again within the qualifying round, and then moving on to to rounds 1, 2, and so on.
Last thing I have about the negotiations and talks surrounding NHL talk, with the participation in the Olympics for the next two Olympics in 2022 and 2026, was this one of the main talking points in getting a new CBA deal extended, or was this more of just kind of a side talk that kind of heated up and then eventually it was agreed upon that, yeah, the NHL players can go back to playing in the Olympics for the next two Olympics and then, you know, we'll get a deal done? What was, how important were those talks in as a whole part of this?
Yeah, the NHLPA basically brought those up right at the beginning to say, look, we're going to extend this. We want to be able to return, to have our athletes return and representing their countries at the Winter Olympics in Beijing and in Milan. So this was certainly a talking point that was ongoing throughout these discussions. The players really emphasized the desire to represent their countries. Obviously, there's only a handful of guys. It's not the entire, you know, membership of the league, 800 players that are going to be able to do that. But they really wanted to fight to return to the Olympics and to get those games underway. Now, both of those are going to happen in February, and I think the league kind of understood that given these times and the fact that we've got to push playback and, you know, probably award a Stanley Cup in October, that taking 3 weeks out of the month of February by pushing things back isn't the end of the world, as was the thought process earlier. To interrupt play in the middle of the season was always a concern for NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman and the owners. But given the circumstances today and the desire for the game to come back and a lot of people obviously wanting to see hockey again, there's a bit more of a leniency, I guess you could say, from the NHL in accepting those terms and allowing players to go to the Olympics again.
David Pagnotta from thefourthperiod.com joining us here on the West Her Hotline. Want to move on now to some Sabres talk. And you had an article up at thefourthperiod.com. The article is the Sabres must be playoff contenders heading, you know, they must be playoff contenders next season. So how important is it for the Sabres to right the ship this offseason and heading into the 2020-21 season? Like, what is the level of, like, DepthCom, you know, what is it? DepthCom, like, 1, 2, 3. Where are you at with how important it is for the Sabres to get this right?
Yeah, I think it's paramount, to be honest. I think it's huge. That's the goal. Now, you can't guarantee that this team or any team is going to be moving forward and you know, guaranteeing a position in the playoffs at this point in the year in the offseason. You can't do that. But you can do your best to move forward and build a contender. And that's effectively the mandate that's being put in place here for the Buffalo Sabres and for new GM Kevin Adams. You've got to be able to be in a position to get this team the talent, the added talent that it needs, make whatever changes you need in order to propel this team into playoff contender status. If you can battle for the wild card spot and you're playing meaningful games down the stretch a month to go in the regular season, something that this team hasn't done in, I think, 8 years, that's the goal. I mean, you're not going to flip a switch and all of a sudden become a Stanley Cup contender next season. It has to be slow played, but you can accelerate that slow play by making the right moves in order to get to contender status for playoffs, and then at that point, you build from there, because there are a lot of people in this organization that have been there a while, the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, that are obviously tired of this, and they certainly want to get back into playing meaningful games towards the end of the season and beyond. That has to be the mandate for this team going into next season.
So with the Sabres going into the offseason, one of their main objectives is to try and find that second-line center behind Jack Eichel. And they had that second-line center, but that guy was traded away, obviously, to the Blues, and he ended up winning the Conn Smythe Trophy, the Selke Trophy, and winning a Stanley Cup in his very first year in St. Louis. What options do the Sabres have to try and attack that number two center hole that they have?
Well, I mean, look, there's a few. You could obviously make a trade. You could try to sign somebody once free agency opens up, which looks like November 1st is when that's going to happen. So you can go in those two directions. But you've got salary cap implications. The cap's not going up. It's being stagnant, $81.5 million the next two seasons, and then it's going to go up $1 million after that. So there's not a lot of wiggle room from a salary cap perspective. And with what you've got, with any overages that have to be attributed to next season, you're fairly limited in what you can do. And again, you can't go out and make all of these signings. We know that hasn't worked in the past. So this is a team that's been in a good position going into this void that's there at the 2C position. Dylan Cousins, everybody I've talked to, says that this guy's ready to make that jump. He's ready to enter the NHL to compete for a spot next season. If that's truly the case, and you can assist in other areas, you need another top six winger to enter the equation. There's no question about that. You've got other holes on that roster. You've got a guy in Dylan Cousins that for the next, you know, year or two is going to be making a significant case to be your 2C. And quite frankly, you know, he can't go to the AHL next year. He can go either to the WHL or to Buffalo. A lot of people I've talked to said he's done with the WHL. There's not going to be much more progress that could be made from a talent development perspective. He's got to get up to the pro side. So if he can compete and hold his own, which I would anticipate, I would give him that opportunity, providing you're cushioning him or complimenting him with the right wingers in place. I think it's, I think that's the direction that needs to be taken so that you can focus on other holes on that roster.
What would be the next big issue that the Sabres have on their roster going forward outside of the second line center is the biggest one, but where's your next plan of attack for this team?
You got to get some offense going here. You've got to be able to expand on your offense, and you've got to be able to improve between the pipes. I mean, those are two big asks. Quite frankly, those are three big asks if you're including the 2C position into that. And you've got a few years before Luukkonen is going to be ready. You're certainly projecting in the right direction, but you've got a few years here that you still need. If you're competing now, you've got to upgrade yourself between the pipes as much as you need some offense. So from my perspective, if Dylan Cousins is your guy, you've got to go out there. You've got to get somebody in the top six, a right winger ideally, to play either on the first or second line. You move Reinhardt on to the other side, whichever line that is, and you look to make some moves between the pipes. There are going to be some goaltenders that are going to be available, some quality goaltenders that are going to be available this offseason, whether it's free agency or through the trade market. Matt Murray for the Pittsburgh Penguins is certainly somebody that a lot of teams are taking a look at and would like to pursue once Pittsburgh's season is done. That might be a direction to certainly go in.
Yeah, I did want to ask you about the goaltending situation just with, you know, with Carter Hutton having the vision problems that he had talked about with Lance Osowski from the Buffalo News, and just what options maybe are available afterwards. It's certainly one that is going to be a big problem, or not a big problem, but just something to focus on heading into the offseason. One other area that I wanted to ask you about is defense, because the Sabres have Rasmus Dahlin, obviously. Joki Haru was able to jump up for them and play some big roles for them in his first year in Buffalo. But the two names that come up this offseason, one is Brandon Montour. He's only been here a year and a half, but the numbers that maybe were expected to increase after he was acquired from Anaheim have stayed relatively the same in Buffalo as they were in Anaheim. And then, of course, the other name is Rasmus Ristolainen, who seemed like has been talked about for eons here, and the opportunity to move him. So how do you attack the movement of defensemen for this team? Do you see Montour and Ristolainen moving? Do you see one of the two moving, or do you think that they decide to stand pat, keep those guys for another year and see how it goes? I mean, Montour's obviously a restricted free agent, so he needs a new contract, and maybe giving him another shorter deal contract would probably be the better option here.
Yeah, and quite frankly, I think he's going to re-up to a shorter-term deal, maybe a one or two, depending on, that's effectively going to be the landscape across the board for a lot of teams and a lot of players, given the salary cap implications of, you know, the finances that have been lost here. So you're probably looking at a short-term deal for him to enter next season. Rasmus Ristolainen is a player that a lot of teams have some interest in. He's somebody that, like you talked about, his name's been out there forever. And the frustration that he has voiced, I guess, with his time in Buffalo over the last little while, I think it's time to take a serious look at moving him. He's one of your best tradable assets at this point. If you have to add to it, so be it. But again, because of the dollars, because of the salary cap, because you have to be certainly frugal to an extent on how you're spending your dollars, with a $5.4 million cap hit and a few years left on his deal, packaging Ristolainen up to get some assistance up front within your top six is certainly something that I think they're going to explore and take a look at. There are some quality defensemen that are out there from a kind of middle of the pack perspective, number three, number four, number five guys. You're going to be downgrading, so to speak, by moving Ristolainen on that blue line or off that blue line, excuse me. But you can bring in some serviceable quality defensemen in your own zone. You've got some offensive guys that can share that responsibility. You've got to be able to be responsible in your own end. And I think a guy, whether it's Joel Edmondson or somebody to that effect would probably be a target for the Buffalo Sabres.
And last thing I've got on my plate here for you, David, is the eighth overall pick. Sabres, of course, with the draft lottery, fall one spot, and I won't mention the yet-to-be-determined team to pick number one because, I think it was a weird decision by the NHL to go forward with that this year, but I'll leave that be. But what do the Sabres do with the eighth overall pick? They've got a number of options that they're going to have there. This year's top 10 class is pretty darn good with talent, and they have a couple options. They could try to move that pick to get a top-quality second-line center that they absolutely need, or they could stick with that pick, get a really good player that could be ready for the NHL in another year or two. Just your thoughts on what maybe they should go and what direction they should go with that pick.
Yeah, it really depends what direction the team plans on going immediately. Do they feel they have the assets, the moves, whether it's trade or through free agency, to bolster this team immediately going into next season? This is a deep draft. There's no question. I'd say your top 12, 13 within this draft are going to be some really good hockey players in the National Hockey League. It might even extend beyond that. This is going to be a very, very good draft class. So it's certainly looking that way. We'll see how everybody does. But this is certainly looking to be one of the best draft classes in a long time. So you've got a lot of depth. You're going to have a lot of options to pick from at the eighth position, whether it's a winger that can put the puck in the net. Quite frankly, somebody like Alexander Holtz has a heck of a shot. He's got a heck of an eye for the net. He would certainly be an offensive weapon that I think the Buffalo Sabres would want to take a look at. You've got goaltending to take a look at there as well. Or, like you said, you explore the trade route. Again, all of this is going to be dependent on what they feel they can do come the offseason. Maybe they make moves ahead of the draft, the day before, a couple days before. That would help dictate what direction they can go in. They're going to have a lot of options. There's no question about that. I suggested, possibly moving that, talk to Pittsburgh, see how Matt Murray is. If your mandate is truly to make a lot of noise next season, you've got to improve on that position right away. But again, you can go in a variety of different directions here. Either way, especially from a draft perspective, you're going to get a heck of a player. So you've got to understand what that value is if you're looking to move it.
I got to admit, David, I read your mock draft that you had, and I'm not too sure how many Sabres fans are going to be happy with taking a goaltender number eight overall. I know that Askarov is a very good goaltending prospect, maybe one of the best prospects that the NHL has seen in quite some years. But, I mean, I think Sabres fans would probably give a very big sigh of anguish over that type of pick.
Oh, I got some interesting responses for that. There's no there's no question on Twitter, and I get it. I totally do. I mean, again, it depends what direction you want to go in. If you feel you can make some additions, if you feel Dylan Cousins is ready, if you feel you can bring in a top six offensive threat via trade, you got to look at other areas, I think. I mean, you can certainly load up. There's no question about that. But to see a player like Askarov, who, like you said, is one of the best goaltending prospects we've seen in years, might be a good direction to go. I know you've got Lukanen, and he's projected to be a really good number one goaltender in the National Hockey League. Gives you options moving forward.
Well, David, I know that you're very busy with your schedule and following everything that's going on in the NHL right now, but I really do appreciate you taking the time to join me here on WGR this morning. Enjoy your weekend. Happy belated Canada Day to you up north, and hope you enjoy your long weekend here.
All right, you too. Thanks so much. Happy 4th.
Yes, thank you. David Pagnotta from the4thperiod.com joining me here on the Wester Hotline. We appreciate him taking the time to talk some NHL and get the latest on what's going on, and also talk about the Sabres going into next season. If you missed that interview, you can find it on demand at WGR550.com. Corey will have that up very shortly here. Or you could also use the radio.com rewind function. Be sure to download the radio.com app if you haven't already. If you don't have it on your phone, what are you doing? Why do you not have the radio.com app on your phone so you can listen to us anytime, anywhere? You can do that. You can use the radio.com rewind function. You can listen back to as long as you want. You can listen back as many times as you want over a 24-hour period. Do that. Listen to what David had to say. He had plenty of good things to talk about and inform us on. So we thank him for joining us. And, of course, Happy belated Canada Day to all of our Canadian listeners and followers who are here on WGR. We'll step aside, come back. We'll continue our goaltending discussion and kind of put a bow on our show here as we wrap things up here in a little under a half hour. It'll be the DiBiase brothers coming up at noon. Joe and Louie are filling in for One Bills Live today, and they're going to talk plenty of football here as we continue to wrap up here for our long extended weekend as we observe the 4th of July holiday tomorrow. No local programming tomorrow on WGR, so just be aware of that. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 are the numbers here. Brayton Wilson filling in for the instigators today on WGR.
The National Football League is ready to reduce the preseason schedule by half. Reports yesterday from Pro Football Talk had the NFL removing the Week 1 and Week 4 games from the preseason. If this holds up, the Bills would play both preseason games at home, but more likely than not without fans in the seats. Bills host the Falcons August 21st. They host the Colts August 29th. More details at WGR550.com. To hockey, TSN's Bob McKenzie reporting that the CBA between the NHL and the NHLPA could be signed as soon as this weekend. Points that have been agreed upon reported to be phases 3 and 4 of return to play, the CBA extension itself, transaction rules, and critical calendar dates. Once a tentative deal is reached, it goes to the NHLPA for a vote. Sportsnet's Elliot Friedman reporting that the CBA would include a flat salary cap of
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
$81.5 million for the next two seasons. It would also include an agreement on players participating in the Winter Olympics in 2022 and 2026. Amnesty buyouts are not reported to be included in the deal. In basketball, the NBA says that the overall price tag of their bubble league in Orlando will come in at around $150 million. In other bubble league news from the greater Orlando Metroplex, more players have tested positive from FC Dallas in Major League Soccer, a total of 9 positive tests so far. Their tournament is scheduled to start next Wednesday. In motorsports, according to the Associated Press, Watkins Glen International Speedway is open again for racing in upstate New York. Track ownership says most of the employees who were furloughed because of the pandemic have returned to work. Be sure to get breaking sports news here first by downloading WGR on the radio.com app and selecting push notifications. Breaking news on the home of the Bills and Sabres is brought to you by the Dell Technology Small Business Podference. Go listen at radio.com/Dell. I'm Corey Griswold. Happy 4th of July weekend from WGR Sports Radio 550.
You've got a few years here that you still need. If you're competing now, you've got to upgrade yourself between the pipes as much as you need some offense. There are going to be some goaltenders that are going to be available, some quality goaltenders that are going to be available this offseason, whether it's free agency or through the trade market. Matt Murray for the Pittsburgh Penguins is certainly somebody that a lot of teams are taking a look at and would like to pursue once Pittsburgh's season is done. That might be a direction to certainly go in.
That was David Pagnotta from last segment. He joined us here on WGR. Thanks again to David for taking the time out of his busy schedule to join us here on WGR. If you missed that, you can find it on demand at WGR550.com. Corey's got that up. Or you can use the radio.com rewind function and go back and listen to it anytime, anywhere over the next 24 hours. Brayton Wilson here, filling in for the Instigators all this week. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in and following along throughout the week. We've had plenty to talk about throughout this week. We've kind of gone through the roster here and kind of maybe what needs to change and how things could look heading into next season. Tuesday, we spent time talking about the forwards. Yesterday, we spent time talking about the defense. And today's primarily been about the goaltending. And obviously, we've had some phone calls going back and asking about forwards and defensemen. You're more than welcome to get in a phone call in the last 20 minutes here, 803-0550 or 1-888-550-2550 if you got a pressing thought on maybe what the Sabres should do this offseason in terms of trades. That clip from David Pagnotta, I'm glad that Corey played that because he mentioned Matt Murray's name. And Matt Murray is a guy who is going to is probably going to be on his way out after this season in Pittsburgh. Jim Rutherford has made it clear that one of the two goalies between him and Tristan Jarry are probably going to be on the move once this season is over. And Matt Murray is certainly a name that has some interest because obviously he is a two-time Stanley Cup champion with the Penguins. His numbers over the past few years have been okay. This past year has not been great. 38 games played. He's 20-11-5, a .287 goals against and an .899 save percentage. Not great numbers, but his numbers in the past have been better. And if he comes in, he'd probably be a guy that is able to compete with Linus Ullmark at the starting position. That is, of course, if they move on from Carter Hutton, whether they try to trade him or they buy out the rest of his contract or however they go about with Carter Hutton. Obviously, that Matt Murray will be an interesting name that's out there. And again, Jim Rutherford, the GM of the Penguins, did say earlier this year that his goaltending situation is probably going to change at the end of the year with either Matt Murray or Tristan Jarry going to be available to be had this offseason, most likely via trade. I'm just looking up real quick Matt Murray's contract status because I believe he's going to be a restricted free agent this summer or this offseason, whenever the offseason kicks off, because right now we kind of are in an offseason, but we're kind of not. So Sabres are in an offseason right now, but there's 24 other teams that are not. So Matt Murray's going to be playing as part of the return-to-play format with Pittsburgh. They face the Montreal Canadiens in the play-in qualifying round with the chance to move on to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Again, the whole thing should be a playoff, but they don't reference it as a playoff. Corey, I'll get your thought on this, because with the way that they talk about this play-in round not having a playoff, no playoffs, but you make a logo with the Stanley Cup in the logo that says qualifiers. Like, that's a playoff to me. Yeah. If you're incorporating the Stanley Cup in a logo like that, that should qualify as a playoff.
It sounds like the NHL is doing the thing where they want to make everybody happy and end up making no one happy, because they know if they say this is the playoffs, everybody's going to go, no, it's not, because it's different than it always has been.
Right.
But they also want the Stanley Cup to be involved, because there are going to be people who are like, none of this counts because it's not about the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And you can't have it both ways, unfortunately.
No.
You can't. Make somebody angry. It's okay to make somebody angry. It's hockey. Everybody's angry all the time.
It's making me angry, NHL. Hey, listen, the NHL has done a very good job trying to figure out this whole play-in round and everything with the 2014 playoff format. The two things that have made me most upset about everything with this whole thing going on is that they're not considering the qualifying round as a playoff, and the fact that they had the stupid losers of the play-in round qualify for the draft lottery, and one of those teams won the first overall pick.
I mean, all of this is made up in the first place. Like, the golden age of this league and the ancient history that they always go back to involved six teams for like 50 years. So the whole league was built on just the same people knocking each other out. So if this year you say, yeah, we're changing the playoff format and everything and all the terminology and how the draft works this year because, well, look around. Like, the world's on fire for a little bit, so we're just going to make it different. You're going to deal with it. Shut up. We'll go back to normal when we can. If they came out and said that, everybody would probably be okay with it. It's like, yeah, we get it. It's a one-year weird thing, but we're just going to do it. Instead, what do they try to do? They try to say, no, this is legitimate. This is the same thing it's always has been. We're just changing it, so it's not the same.
Right, and another thing that I think of is how do you consider the points that happen in this qualifying round? For the teams that are in there, are you counting those towards playoff points? Are you counting those towards the regular season points? Like, what happens if Alex Ovechkin in the round, especially since they're playing in the seeding round-robin tournament, what happens if he scores 8 goals in this round-robin tournament? Are you going to count that towards his regular season, or are you going to count it towards the playoffs? Because if you're not counting this as playoffs, you count it towards his regular season totals to continue to add on to his chance to break Wayne Gretzky's scoring record. Like, you can't just say, like, oh, well, these stats don't matter. They should matter. Whether it's playoffs or regular season, figure it out because, you know, stuff like that, it does matter to some people. I personally want to see Alex Ovechkin break the scoring record for all-time scoring record.
Sure.
So I want to see this happen.
I mean, at the end of the day, I'm still asking myself, why are they playing hockey in August? Like, why are we doing this at all? You should just either can the season altogether and start anew when your schedule is supposed to start anew in September and October and give it a shot, or just say we're going to finish the season like an actual season and just go through it and we're going to figure it out later. But this, like, kind of half-hybrid thing where you've concocted this entirely alien play-in round thing that doesn't exist anywhere in the history of your league to try to make it work, and now you have people like you and people who are hardcore hockey fans asking, like, where do the stats count? Where do the storylines count? How is this going to affect the legacies of some players? How is this going to affect how we view this championship when somebody does win the cup? These are all questions that the NHL absolutely never thought of at all when this came up.
It's funny because I was talking about the Penguins and Matt Murray and Tristan Jarry, and then all of a sudden it tailed off into this discussion about points should matter in the playoffs. I mean, they should, but I don't know. The NHL, again, has done a very good job mostly, and the CBA, to get an extension of the CBA for the next 6 years is even more impressive because, you know, you've had 3 lockouts since your commissioner has been in on the job for the NHL. And you're doing everything you can to avoid another lockout. That's thumbs up to you. I give you mad props for that. But at the same point, it's like, can you just get everything right for once and not just screw up a couple of things? And those couple of things are actually pretty important.
They could have just gone right to a playoff. Just like a normal playoff season, just go to it.
They could have, but there would have been too many teams that would have been really, really upset with not being able to. And you know what? Hey, you know, I guess it's fair for everybody, but I don't have a problem with that as much as the other things that I'm mad about. And the things that I'm mad about, people are probably listening and like, just suck it up, will you? Just get over it. Just move on.
All of this is fake. Sports is totally fake, except that they're actually doing stuff, but none of it matters. So just sit back and watch it and stop thinking about the numbers so hard. They're going to go on the ice and they're going to try and play and enjoy it while you can, because we do not know what will be happening in the future and whether things will get back to normal or if we will be disrupted for years to come. So you're going to sit back and say, wow, this is really weird. Yeah, I know. The whole world's weird. Just sit back and watch the stupid sports.
Yeah. All right. We'll wrap up the goaltender conversation because I want to give you a list of some potential goaltending options that could be available. Matt Murray is one of them that David Pagnotta mentioned when we were speaking with him. We'll also bring you another list as we wrap up the show and get you ready for the DiBiase brothers to come in to fill in for One Bills Live on this Thursday. Again, no local programming tomorrow as we observe the 4th of July holiday. Brayton Wilson filling in for the Instigators today. Corey Grizzled on the board on WGR. All right, wrapping things up here on this Thursday. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in throughout the week and interacting with us and giving your thoughts on all hockey talk. I mean, obviously, it's been a very, very difficult time with everything going on with COVID-19 and some of the things that are happening in this world to be able to think about sports and to be able to talk about sports nonetheless. But I appreciate everybody's thoughts and joining in on the show and hope everybody has a safe and happy 4th of July holiday weekend. I want to wrap up the show, obviously, by talking about about the goaltending availabilities and options for the Sabres heading into the offseason in terms of some possible options if the Sabres do happen to move on from either Carter Hutton or Linus Ullmark, and look maybe to the free agent market, because we mentioned Matt Murray in a possible trade scenario. He's going to be restricted free agent. Tristan Jarry is also possibly available from the Penguins. Here are some of the notable unrestricted free agent names that could be out there, and some of them are interesting. Anton Khudobin is maybe one of your better options. However, he's 34 with Dallas. He's available to be had this offseason. Cam Talbot, Chad DeDeminis has had it in his article as part of a trade with Calgary to acquire his rights, then sign him to a contract and have him be the backup to Linus Ullmark. That wouldn't necessarily be a bad option either. Some of the other notable names that could be of interest for Buffalo: Thomas Greiss from the Islanders, Jacob Markstrom from the Vancouver Canucks, Robin Leonard's out there if you want to give it another shot. Ryan Miller's out there, age 39, although I don't think that he's going to be playing again. I just have a feeling in my mind that he's probably going to step aside and retire. And the other most notable name possibly on this list is Braden Holtby, a guy that is a very well-known starter in the NHL. Just trying to look over some other options here, and there's really nothing else that's of interest in the free agent market, at least from an unrestricted free agent standpoint. A quick look at the restricted free agent goaltenders that are of interest. Mackenzie Blackwood, I think he's going to be their goalie in New Jersey for a while. Alex Georgiev is a possibility in the trade market. And then that's pretty much it. I mean, Jonas Johansson is a restricted free agent, but I'd expect him to get a new contract and then play in Rochester is one of their goaltenders down there. So the Sabres have some goaltending decisions to make. They have some overall roster decisions to make as the offseason continues. And I'm sure that once Andrew and Craig come back next week, they will continue to talk about that and get your thoughts on the matter. And you can join them at any time throughout the times they're on the air. And I, again, appreciate them for allowing me the chance to come in this week and fill in for them while they take their nice time off to kind of recharge the batteries. And they'll be back again on Monday, as will the crew of One Bills Live. Up next, though, on WGR, it'll be the DiBiase brothers, Joe and Louie, filling in for One Bills Live. They'll talk plenty of football with you. They'll get your thoughts on the Bills or anything that's going on in the NFL. And you can call them at 803-0550. Or 1-888-550-2550. I'm Brayton Wilson, filling in for the Instigators this week. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks again for listening. Have a happy and safe 4th of July weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.